This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 19th of September, 1963. The title of this lecture is Routine 4M TA. This tape is 89 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Well, you're very lucky to be at St. Hill this particular time. Very lucky. Times to come, why, probably this will be old hat. All be old hat. What's the day? 19 September, AD 13, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. Running the PC's actual GPM. A full and complete rundown thereof, including the new development of finding our eyes by tone arm action. Once upon a time, there was a PC. And he was lucky, because he was going to get out of it. But he'd been a very foolish thetan for a long time. He kept postulating goals. And he says the way to handle life is to get a very broad datum. A big, broad datum, and then I don't have to be there and handle life, see? Which is your ultimate in no confront. Don't want to handle life anymore, and don't want to confront life anymore, so I'm going to postulate a goal, to be a schnook. And he was. If he wasn't one before he postulated the goal, he was afterwards. I don't mean to be too hard on us, because it'd be equally self-accusative. But the mechanism, which is in operation, and which is the broad basic mechanism, is just about the simplest thing you could possibly state. You'll have to probably do a lot of work on green Scientologists and so forth, trying to get them to understand what a confusion in a stable datum is. There were a lot of examples on this, a dozen years, 10 years, 8 years, 7 years, 5 years ago. There's been a lot of examples of this kind of thing. But I found it was relatively difficult to teach as a graphic analysis of a situation. I remember trying to teach it to HGC auditors at London Hazy, and they had an awful time. They had an awful time trying to embrace the idea of a confusion in a stable datum. Well, it goes like this. You, in actual fact, get less confusion by adopting one point of confusion as a stable datum. If you want to enter this thing of confusion in the stable datum, let us say we tear apart, and this is a graphic experiment which you can do. I mean, you can show somebody this. You can tear apart a piece of paper and make a lot of scraps of paper. They're fairly light and float. And take this handful of bits of paper and throw it up in the air. And when you've thrown it up in the air, it, of course, all exists one to the next as a confusion, don't you see? And then you say to the person you're demonstrating it to, pretend you're one of those pieces of paper, you see, and then that will appear to be motionless and everything else will appear to be in motion. Do you see how that would mean? So you can have a lot of motions going on, and even the stable datum itself could be in motion, don't you see? But by adopting one of these scraps of paper that's floating through the air as the point of view of seeing the other scraps of paper, then, of course, you have reduced the situation by one scrap of paper, which you at that moment, of course, pretend to be motionless. Do you see this? Do you see this? So it all starts with a lie. A stable datum, in actual fact, is in motion when it's fixed up like that, you see. Now, you say you're motionless here on this planet. I can count out to you by advanced physics, not as taught in universities, but by real advanced physics, that there are at least a dozen motions to which you were subject while you were busy standing still. You're going through a dozen motions. This way, Earth is going in two different motions, just in the orbit and its own rotation. And it's undergoing a slight tilt all the time, which precesses slightly. And then the solar system is in a tilt. And then it's tilting, and at the same time it is moving. And you start adding this up, not trying to make you dizzy, but it's considerable rate of motion. You start in with the grossest motion is the rotation of Earth, and actually you're traveling at the rate, just this very instant, you're traveling at the rate of 1,000 miles an hour, approximately, just by reason of the rotation of Earth. And yet you appear to be motionless. So we don't then care about whether the stable datum is motionless or not motionless, you see, or factual or not factual. See, we care nothing about that, but we do care that it is considered to be the one point which one presumes to be motionless. Now, that's a very crude example which I have given you, and it's totally applicable to the field of physics. Now, to go into what a thetan does, and a little bit further than this, you get some more very complicated ramifications. This is all under the definition of space, actually. Space, and then change, which is time, and so forth. And space, of course, is a viewpoint of dimension. That is what space is, and that is all it is. Now, the point from which you're viewing naturally then establishes a perimeter of space. And if you want to give somebody a high old time, just conduct some of those ancient old Scientology experiments on the basis of space as a viewpoint of dimension. You can really turn on the winds of space and the whir around him. Say, get the idea of planting to... I did this to an architect not too long ago. He's used to working in a two-dimensional plane, you see, and it upset him no end. Get the idea, you know, these flags that they put in golf holes, the cup, you know. Well, get the idea of taking two of those flags and putting them out there in front of you, you see. That's one of the old experiments, you see. Now take two more and put them in back of you. Of course, this just about tears the bank into ribbons, you see. Because you've put this individual who is used to viewing a sort of a flat perimeter, you see. He sort of doesn't confront it at all, and you have given him a viewpoint of dimension. Of course, he immediately gets motion. He immediately gets motion. Ceasing to view, being very, very technical on you, ceasing to view develops the potential of motion. Why? Let's go over this again slowly. Space is the viewpoint of dimension. If you sit one end of a room and look at the four corners, the other end of the room, you're going to develop yourself a sort of a pyramid of space from where you're looking at those four opposite corners of the room. See? Well, just doing that will develop motion. Why? Because you don't do it. That is why. And in actual fact, the entirety of the bank is a no-space proposition. As anybody who is busy listening with the mass coming in on him and the thundering thuds and so forth will convince himself of very rapidly. It's a no-space proposition because there's no viewpoint. follow this. This is very, actually, very comprehensible. You're making much more out of it than is really there. Now, let's have the PC sit in a room and look at the four corners of the wall at the far end of the room. Well, that's going to be a very dizzying thing. He's going to feel things move. Well, why does he feel things move? Why does he feel his bank shifting around? Because he will. If you don't believe it, make the experiment yourself this evening and you'll find out. You don't have to go to the extreme of taking two golf flags and mocking them up out in front of you and trying to hold them there, and then two more golf flags and put them behind you, put yourself in a cubist space. But putting yourself in a cubist space is wow. Boy, the motion really starts going. So supposing we put in this room the person looking at the four corners of the far wall. That makes a sort of a pyramid of space between the far wall and himself, see? All right, now let's take him away. Let's take the person away, and let's have this piece of paper look at it. Well, you say, well, the piece of paper won't see it. That's nonsense. Well, that's right. That's nonsense, and that's what the PC's been doing all these years. Now, anything, then, that develops in front of this piece of paper in its pyramid, which comes from the far wall to the piece of paper, is then uninspected motion in uncreated space. He said the space was there, and then he is no longer making the space. So anything happens in the space, of course, is not confronted, because he's got a stable datum confronting that space for him. Now, we take the piece of paper out, and we put the PC back in. Because he's been gone, motion has been, potential has been developed in that area. And the second we put him back in again, it will start to move and right itself one way or the other back to space as a viewpoint of dimension, you see. He recreates the space, so therefore the potential motion in that space goes bzzz. You see? See how this is? Because, of course, when we put a piece of paper there to keep the space for him, it didn't. And anything that happened in that area was uninspected, and it was a mess. So the second we put a stable datum in there to keep the space straight for him, naturally, it apparently does so because it actually isn't creating any space. And this is a somewhat comfortable state of mind. He doesn't have to worry about this now. He's got a lot of subterfuges of one kind or another that he can lie to himself about, don't you see? At the same time, he holds that piece of paper in there confronting that space for him. And of course, it doesn't confront. And therefore, anything that happens in the immediate vicinity of that thing is uninspected, unaligned, unhandled. Everything that goes on, there's nothing looking at it. There's no space for it to happen in. There's no rationale of occurrence, but there is occurrence, don't you see? Because there is some space there, because he made it originally. You see the mess that is coming up. Now, we take our thumb and index finger in the form of one auditor with one e-meter, and we pluck out of that position that piece of paper. And we put the PC in it. Instead of the paper, he recreates the space. All motion which was held in abeyance or stored in that area immediately starts occurring. We've recreated the space of that situation and that time. See this? Well, therefore, the idea of just throwing some papers up in the air and assuming the position of one of the papers and noticing that the rest of them then move in relationship to it and all that sort of thing, that's too simple, much, much too simple, a description of confusion in the stable datum. Too simple. In actual fact, the space tends to collapse when we put that, assume that point of view, don't you see? Because in actual fact, with a stable datum, we no longer have a point of view. So the Thetan, as he's gone along the line, has put in a false point of view called a stable datum, which he hopes will keep the space and take care of that immediate area. And of course, it naturally, by the rules of GPMs and problems and confusions, don't you see? He's here, and this stable datum is supposed to confront that confusion, don't you see? You get your RIs, your terminal and your op term situation occur, and this thing all gums up, and the next thing you know, it's a solid black mass, and it's that which you think the PC is finding very uncomfortable, and that which the PC is finding very uncomfortable. That is what is happening. That is the situation. Now, you'll see this. PC starts going, and your E meter starts going up and gets sticky and goes up. And what are you doing? See? Well, you actually are, you got a piece of mass, but you haven't found the position from which that space is being created. See, has been created in the past. You haven't got him in toward the center of this thing. See, you haven't got the exact wording of it, you see, and that sort of thing. So you don't know what that stable datum is, but you're moving him in toward it. And of course, he's now viewing himself. So the fact that he is viewing that zone and area of space regenerates the potential mass of that old confusion. And it doesn't discharge, of course, because he isn't viewing it from the right position. He's viewing it from over here, see? He's looking at it from over here. Of course, that isn't where it's being created from. There's a datum in there which is making all that for him, don't you see? And he's over here, way over here on the right, of the area. Right? He's way over here, and the datum is way over here, see, down toward the center of the thing. And so you get a stuck tone arm. Why? Well, of course, there's nothing. The space isn't being recreated, so therefore there is no discharge of what it contains. It's just... Now we move him back into the area and we say, hey, fella, once upon a time, a long time ago, for reasons best known to you, you deserted an area in here which had an awful lot of confusion, and you left a sentinel or something in there to create all the space for you, and it didn't. When we get your attention back in there, it reactivates the sentinel. We've got to get you over here to the point which you occupied originally. The second we get him to the point he reoccupied originally, we get creak, brrr, meek, zip, zip. Why? The space is being recreated, and the energy potential stored in that space, of course, can now discharge. So, we can conclude that so long as you do not have the stable datum for any extant mass of confusion, but have the PC somewhere in its vicinity, you're going to get a motionless tone arm. And when you move the PC over into the point of view from which it is being created, it is going to produce tone arm action. Elementary. If he isn't in the point of view from which it is created, see, no tone arm action, but you're going to get a stuck tone arm because you're reactivating the area, see? You're reactivating it, but you haven't got the point from which it's being created. So it goes creak and stuck, see? Nothing's going to happen. And then you move him over and you get a little bit of happening, a little bit of happening. And when you get him over into the center, this area where he is really was really creating that space originally, and substitute the PC for the stable datum, See? Make him go back and take a look at this thing, you see? Second, he reoccupies that point of view. He gets promptly and immediately tone, arm, action. The whole thing blows up. Tone, arm, action will keep on going then, going then, going then, until the confusion is discharged from that immediate area. Well, now, part of the discharge of the confusion of the area is finding out what this stable datum was erected to confront. And that's the other RI. So there's another stable datum over there, but mostly a confusion, called the enemy. That's the op term, the opposition terminal, the enemy. And he conceives it to have a point of view. He conceives it to be a confusion. He has a lot of ideas about it, and so it is all part of this space. But it, he thinks, is creating its own space, and you have then two interlocked spaces. Because they are exactly and precisely interlocked, they float in time, because there is no motion involved in it. You have the stable datum of the op term, you have the stable datum of the PC. Those two points are staring at each other and have been staring at each other for a very long time. You move the PC into their vicinity, he reactivates some of this space, he becomes aware then that there, quote, is something there. He is not looking at it from either the point of view of the enemy or his own point of view, don't you see? And because he knows there is something there, you get your tone arm going up. Now, your next action, your next immediate action after this occurs, if you are moving the PC toward either his own point of view or the point of view of the enemy, his fancy point of view where the enemy looked from, you see, if we're moving him in right straight on top of where he had that idea originally, his recognition of the idea tends to give him a resumption. He tends to resume the point of view where he left the datum to make the space for him, don't you see? Now, he tends to resume that point of view, and the moment that he does, of course, you get energy discharge because you have created space. See, he's there, therefore he recreates the original space that was created there, and you get zoom, 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 tone, arm, action. If you don't put him in that exact point of view, you don't get tone, arm, action, you just get a high tone arm. Now, there can be lock points of view, which is quite interesting. Other little balls of massed energy cling to this big stable datum. Other subsidiary points of view. If you get him into one of those, you'll get a little blowdown, and it'll go back up again. In other words, you can recognize, now listen to this carefully, you can recognize on the E-meter whether or not you have brought the PC to resume the point of view of the center of that mass, either of his own space or what he considered the enemy's space. And the second that you bring him actually to that center point of view to recreate that space in that time span, that meter just goes apart because there's nothing else can hold the space together, you see. That space now starts discharging. Zoom, 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 loose. Everything's going to pieces. You can't get anything done. You got too much tone arm action. That's when you got him dead center on an RI, whether his own RI or the enemy RI. Everything goes to hell. That stuff won't stay together anymore because he's recreating the space on which that and all the locks occur. But if you have him merely on a lock, it simply disturbs it a little bit by resuming to some slight degree. You see, he's in close to resuming the point of view, and you'll get a little blowdown, and then the arm will go up again. It'll all rocket read, don't you see? But you haven't got tone arm action as a result of finding it. You got that? Now, that, in actual fact, is a theoretical dissertation on the subject of what really should be redesignated now as routine 4, because it's just class 4, routine 4M. But we could say routine 4MTA. Now, it's practically the same 3M you did before, but it has this big difference. I have just been working this over. I've gotten my hands real dirty with this, and I've looked it over, and it says, is there any faster way that an auditor can absolutely guarantee that he will really get the RIs? Yes, there is, and that is by tone arm action. Tone arm action. Now, you all know the phenomenon of finding an item and getting a blowdown. You give the item to the PC, and the PC then says, that's right, and you get a blowdown. If you did that, you found a lock. That's just a lock. You should have two blowdowns. You should have a blowdown when he gives you the item on the list. And then you should get fall, the next items, the next few items. Fall, fall, blowdown, blowdown, fall. You see? And you list a little bit further. You got your tone arm action. Just calm down just a little bit. You go back and you check. It'll be one of those items, and usually the first one. The first one of that little series of blowdowns that you got. Now you give the PC the item, and you get a new blowdown. Only this time, nothing can hold the meter together. It just goes You understand? You've pulled the plug out of the bathtub. You haven't just splashed some water on the floor. You understand? Now, let me put this in more practical terms from your point of view. What you looking for a service fact for, and what's a service fact supposed to do? Supposed to produce tone arm action. Why does it produce tone arm action? You pull it out of the way and the discharge will then go. Simplest way of putting it. You start getting this discharge of energy. That's because it's no longer there to block it. You're dealing with the same thing here, see. Now, if you get anything that's close into a real service fact, anything that substitutes for it, you thereafter get lots of tone arm action, don't you see? Well, don't you think you ought to get even more tone arm action for a real RI? More tone arm action for a real RI? So there are two things you can do. You can find a lock, which gives you a beautiful rocket read. Nothing rocket reads as lovely as a lock. If you really want to see a classic rocket read, find a lock that is not accompanied by blowdown. And it'll just rocket read and rocket read and rocket read. Beautiful. Dial wide. Gorgeous thing. Takes off with a beautiful spurt and has a curly tail on the end and so forth. Marvelous. If you want to demonstrate to somebody what a perfect rocket read is, I plead with you, don't find a service fact or a real RR. Or I don't mean to infer that all service facts should rocket read. What you're calling a service fact or can use with one isn't an RI. Find a lock. Find a lock on a PC's GPM. Start the list and see an RR and then don't go on listing. See one RR that is not then followed by any blowdown. Oh, it might be a little 0.25 division drop. Little drop, doesn't amount to anything. And just don't complete the list. Of course, PC probably ARC break, but that's all right. You can tell them to shut up while you demonstrate it to the class, don't you see? Every time you say this, you see, the real item is a sultan. See, that's the real item. and it was going to come up in about six or seven more items listed, see? And you found eunuch, see, on the list, and you saw it RR, see? And you just stopped the list, right? That's it. Thank you. Shut up, you know? That's it. All right, that's fine. Now, class, we're going to show you a real rocket read, see? We say, eunuch, phew, eunuch, phew, eunuch, phew. Gorgeous. Marvelous. Nothing more lovely. It'll keep up. Days later, you put in the midroots on it, and it'll fire if you never complete the list. Let's just go on. Why? It's getting its power from the actual heart, the actual point of view. It's getting its power. And that power is leaking sideways, and of course it'll never wear out. It'll just go on rocket reading endlessly, rocket reading, rocket reading, rocket reading. All right, well, let's take pity on the student a few days later, and let's take pity on this person for demonstration purposes. Let's finish the list. This is the way it'll behave, see? A eunuch, scimitar, harem, camels, grand wazirs, sultan. Right away. That moment that he says it, see? And then he will say, palace, date palms, desert, Arabia. Tone arm action here, see? Every time he says one of these things, he gets another fall or blowdown. Gorgeous falls, gorgeous blowdowns, see? Well, you go on, and he also says dates. That didn't do much. He says dates, oil wells, NATO allies, you see, and nowhere, nothing. It's going on up now, see. It'll go up. If you keep going, you can get it pretty high. You can get it pretty high, see. You'll notice the PC is starting to look kind of black and creaky, torn up, and so on. Don't pay attention to that. Just go on, list it. You know, you get it. I think you could probably get it up to six if you tried. Why? Hell, you found it, man. You found it. What told you found it? Because you got consecutive. Now, get that carefully. Consecutive blowdowns. That patch of stuff can't hold together. You actually don't find, now don't get this one wrong, you're not listing in actual fact to find an RR. You're listing to find a series, 2, 3, 4, 5, of blowdown items. You want a series of these things. You want a series. You're listing for a series. As soon as you find that series, you've done it. The only thing you have to do is list until you don't have the TA action quite so much coming up. But you really actually don't have to go that far. All you need is that series. See, that series. And therefore, although it's very nice to have your tone arm actions over on the side, you very shortly, by the way, have meter computers that give you total TA action. We just had a conference with Fowler and Allen, and they're building one, and they equip onto old-type meters, too. The new meters will be equipped with them. Don't know how fast it'll take them to get these things out, but they're up over the horizon here someplace. But that'll give you your total action for the session. And if you're so busy sitting there writing figures that you haven't got time to write BD or B, you know, for blowdown, and F for fall, see, if you haven't got time to write your tone arm commotion, You're so busy, you see, trying to say, well, it went from 4.25 to 4.1, you see, and then it went from 4.5 to 3.5, and so forth. You're just so busy tracking figures while trying to write items too. You'll soon find yourself lost in the dust and sand, you see. So the real BD that you want, the real blowdown that you want to record, is how far the thing blew down totally as a result of having found it as an item. You could mark that in after you've given it to the PC. Therefore, it takes some mention of where your tone arm got to and so forth. But that isn't what I would read by. That isn't what I would read by. I would say, in the first place, a blowdown isn't 0.25 divisions. Nothing ever blew down that little. You understand? That's not a blowdown. Not with this, I'm still trying to call it R3M. It's for MTA. That's not a blowdown. We want a blowdown. The biggest one that you're going to get is about 2 divisions. That would be considered awful darn good and rather rare, I would say. You know, maybe you got every 8, 10 items, RIs that you found. You had one that on giving it to the PC, you promptly and instantly got 2 divisions of blowdown, you see. That's rather extreme. 0.5 divisions, I would consider minimum expectancy to be called a blowdown. So that leaves us up to about 7.5 or 1 division and so forth as what you would call commonly a nice blowdown. The phenomenal 2 divisions, minimal about 0.5 division. Less than 0.5 division, you can't read it without a microscope anyway. You understand? Go ahead and keep all the tone arm record that you want that is compatible with recording so that you can find out what happened. So when you put blowdown on something, well, you know this thing went down, see? This hit the silk. You know, I can see some auditors sitting there quietly auditing along, and the needle moves and he gets 0.1 divisions of motion of the TA and mark that a blowdown. Now that could leave you with a totally erroneous impression of the whole thing, you see. So if you're going to mark something with a blowdown, let's make sure it blew down, you see. Let's not fool around with it. Now the whole point is simply this is all you really have to get. That if you pick the RI, whether a terminal or an opposition terminal, out of that bank, if you pick it out, there ain't nothing holding the bank together. You understand? At that point, there's nothing holding it together. You're going to get tone arm action. And if you pick out a quote RI, quote unquote, and it all stays together beautifully well, and there is no tone arm action, and you go on thinking you've got the PC's RI, then you're going to get into one of the wildest cat races you ever saw in your life, see? Because you're going to have locks opposing locks, and locks opposing more locks, and locks opposing more locks, and you're going to go astray, you're going to be listing into the next GPM, and over the hill into the next bank, and you're going to have 5,682 items per GPM, it's just going to be so involved. Furthermore, the items won't make much sense on the line plot. Locks. But you list by tone arm action, you get an entirely different view. Now, you want a consecutive series of blowdowns. Now, we'll settle for steep falls on the next 2 or 3 items that also cause a tone arm action. Once you reach in to that bank and pull the plug, well, naturally, the next 3 or 4 items the PC gives are going to be in violent motion. Because the only thing that was holding them still was the big one. Now look, you're trying to find service facsimiles to get tonearm action, right? All right. Find our eyes for the same reason. While you're doing the PC's GPM, and you can't miss. That's all the tonearm action there is to see or have, the most that you will get. What is the service facsimile of the PC? It is simply the top, either one of the top RIs of the current GPM. Yeah, there it is. So why do you think stuff out of the main bank would operate any differently? It operates just exactly the same. Every time you reach in there and pick up a great big handful of RI and yank it out, wow, everything caves in, which means your tone arm is going to move. And it's going to move right now, and it's going to move fast. And he gives you another item. Of course, he's sitting there in the middle now. He's reoccupying the space that he occupied before. See, he had it occupied with a stable datum, but now he's reoccupying that space. So he gives you the next one, and that goes, boo! And he gives you the next one, and it goes, pow! See, the next one, boom! The next one, bang! Well, how's it going to operate if you don't find the RI? Beautiful rocket read. The next one's going to go, and the next one's going to go, and then it's going to go blank for the few. Why? It's all in place. You haven't disturbed the bank any. He can live through lots of these being found. See the difference? You haven't, in essence, found anything that tore the bank up. So, of course, if you didn't find anything that tore the bank up, you're not going to get tonearm motion. That's all there is to that. So then, when you're going down the line listing, pocket a pocket a pocket a pocket a pocket, mark in those RRs. Oh, that's fine. Nothing wrong with marking in RRs. You sure better had. You see something RR, mark it in. See? But auditors sometimes miss RRs. But it's very hard to miss a tone arm action. So you notice this thing isn't centered. So you better put down BD. See? Sultan, BD. Now, you'll get a lot of blowdown. A lot of items blow down a half a division, so you just mark that. It's whether or not they produced a consecutive blowdown of items that is important. See, that's the important thing. So if you've got a sultan, you see, a palace, a kingdom, you know, and it was a sultan, BD. And a palace, fall, BD. Kingdom, BD, fall. See? Hey, we're riding up on this thing, you see? And oil well revenues, you see, fall. Now it's going to be real quiet. Well, I don't know. I don't know quite how you shut the PC zits off, and sometimes they feel better. They're going on listing for a while. They get very engrossed and that sort of thing, because now, you see, they're occupying the point of view, you see. Hey, what am I doing here, you know? I haven't been here for a long time, and I'm very interested, you know, and here it is and so forth. Gee, look at all this space, you know. And they'll go on, gold-plated Rolls Royces, you see, turbans, diamonds, you know, robin's egg rubies or something, you know. Hey, go on, go on. Good. Good. Thank you. Robin's egg, rubies. Thank you. Thank you. That. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I think we got it. So. ARC, but no. But the point is, the PC gets so darned involved. They list their TA way back up again, and you can go on and on and on and on, and you start listing them around the corner, and they go into other banks. He didn't go around the corner on the first consecutive series of blowdowns. You hadn't gone around the corner. You hadn't gone any place, see? You're right there. But you keep going on to the next consecutive series of blowdowns. Well, you probably missed an item. And you go down the next consecutive series of blowdowns, and your TA starts looking awful high now. And then you'll start ducking around the corner and going into another bank. And all kinds of wild little ramifications. This thing is now getting high. It's getting sticky. The PC's got bad sin. The PC's got bad somatics turned on by this time. And you say, well, just to be on the safe side, let's list all the tone arm action out of it. Well, that datum was perfectly fine for source lists. But it sure doesn't apply on any other kind of list. As a matter of fact, even source lists don't have to have the tone arm action out. Now, this is all in the effort of shortening up auditing. My whole effort is how fast can you run a GPM, see? I ran one in 3.5 hours last night. Whole thing. And I was riding right up on top of the thing, and it turned out that the only mistake I made going down the line is I ignored a consecutive series of blowdowns, not having the technology, of course, and I finally sat back and said, you knucklehead, backed it up again and got it in there and squared it around. It was all right. I said, well, of course you're pulling the plug out on this stuff, and naturally you're going to get tone arm action. I hastily thumbed through everything I had, and I found out you always had this condition. You'll find you always have that condition. If you're working on the right goal, if you're working on the right RI and the right list and opposing it right way too, and it's all going along fine, and you haven't skipped any items, then you're going to have a consecutive series of blowdowns. It's going to last for 2, 3, 4 items. It's going to be commotion. When you see that commotion, it's one of those items, probably the first one, undoubtedly the first one, because that's the one where you took the plug out. But you might not have noticed that one as it went by, so you take the one just before that. Now, as far as neatness of RRs are concerned, the real RI does not have a neat RR. It's a disintegrating RR, and it's blowing up in your face. Thing is disintegrating all over the place. Actually, you really can't tell if it's an RR. It looks like steep surge or fast fall or what is it, and it's so wide and so long that you just see the start acceleration if you're lucky. You don't quite know when it's going to take off. You don't get a chance to see the end of it. Usually it's too long. And the tone arm motion is falling too rapidly, don't you see? You never see a good-looking RR when you find an RI. That's on an actual GPM. They just don't look good. They're too big. They're too long. They're falling to pieces as you look at them. Charge is blowing up in all directions. So you come back and you call the thing. You're going to get a nice looking read of some kind or another. It's going to read. Now, here's the next little precaution. All of your listing stuff applies, but there is a precaution that if you start nulling and you get two items to tick, any two items on the list to tick, well, you've missed. You shouldn't have two items ticking on a list. Not for this technique. Not for 4MTA. No. You don't want two items taken out of the list. You read Eunuch and it ticks, and you read Date Palms and it ticks. I wouldn't pay any more attention to the list. Why? Well, you've obviously left the plug in. The tub must still be full of water. They didn't release. If Eunuchs and Date Palms didn't get out of there, and if they're still reading, you obviously haven't found the RI. It's elementary, my dear Watson. You see the rationale? The area still must be charged up if something else besides is ticking. So you actually don't need much of a test. Read a couple of items that you've seen RR, you see both of them tick, man, you haven't got any more RI on that list than a man in the moon. Now, if you run into trouble on this, you've done something knuckleheaded. And there are very few knuckleheaded things that you can do. Most knuckleheaded of them is keep on listing with a high TA, which is going higher. PC has got heavy mass and it's pulling in and It's all very uncomfortable. And so, well, you just missed an item. That's all you did. You just went right on by. Now, it's very easy to list an opposition to something, see some series of blowdowns, is the only frailty of it, and find yourself in the wrong GPM. So this step is absolutely necessary. You can miss an item and find yourself wrong, too. Thing doesn't list well, energy pulls in on somebody, see. You've skipped a pair. You've gone around the corner, you see, and you've skipped a pair. Doesn't behave well. It isn't operating according to the textbook, see. Well, you better get busy. Did we skip an item? Yarp, we skipped an item. Well, let's go back and find that item. See? Not leave it there, because this blowdown phenomena will not continue to occur if you've skipped items. See, the bank is still very well cohesed. There's some point of view the PC has not taken. So as a result, he can't assume the next point of view. He sort of stopped right there. So if it isn't working, what I'm just telling you, and this isn't occurring, then you've done something goofy. Now, one of the other way you can do something goofy is to oppose something backwards. Ordinarily, you ask the PC if the terminal had pain on it. You say, that had pain on it, and the PC said, yeah, you'll point out point where it had some pain on it. Well, that was a terminal. Heat, cold, and pain is actually all terminal stuff. Winds of space, sensation, that sort of thing. That's your op-term test. You don't need to strain at this too much. You normally can run it beautifully just on the terminal side without upsetting the PC at all by just finding out if he had pain on it. Because if it was a terminal and you're operating on a center RI, of course he had pain on it. You don't you see? So you keep your check there and you practically never list one backwards. It's quite obvious where you are in the bank ordinarily. The line plot is making sense and everything is going along gorgeously. You know where this is. One of the main things that will get in your road as you're doing this is just, if it doesn't go right, you've done something wrong. I mean, that is all there is to it. And the sooner you recognize it isn't going right, then the sooner you can ask those burning little questions like, have we listed one wrong way too? And have we skipped an item? Are we operating an item that isn't part of this GPM? That type of question, you see. Now there's one question, and you can be suckered in on this, because a PC is very often very obliging. You must run this little formula on an actual GPM. It is totally missing, you see, on old 3M, now 4N. On old 3N, now 4N, it's totally missing, whereby you check up your goal and all that sort of stuff. But that is vital in running an actual GPM, that you do all those little courtesy steps, all the little bing-bang steps, you see. You would assault and oppose the American government or whatever the op term was, you see, that you're listing from. Check and make sure the op term doesn't tick. If the op term still ticks, man, you just haven't got the RI, that's all. Don't argue with it, you just haven't got it. And naturally, why haven't you got it? Well, the list is incomplete. And you haven't had the proper series of blowdowns and all that sort of thing. Or the PC's busily listed around the corner. Well, if the PC's listed around the corner, he'll list back around the corner again if you let him just continue the list a little bit. Actually, a PC sometimes will list himself down to 7 banks below where he is. Not bank by bank, but he'll give you a couple of items from the 7th bank where he is, and then give you items back in the bank where he's operating. Well, unfortunately, you once in a while can get a series of blowdowns from the 7th bank. And the best way to check that is you say to the PC, see, would a sultan relate to the goal to be rich? And he said, oh, brother, yeah. All right. The PC said, well, I don't quite see how I did. Well, I guess it could. Yes, it could. And so what? Don't be a fool, man. You've got an item out of a wrong GPM.
PC can't tell you, that relates. Bang! Just like that, see? If he just does it, oh, well, hell yes, what are you asking me for, you idiot? You know, something going to be rich is silly. I mean, of course, naturally. Sometimes you think it's very obvious you shouldn't ask the PC these little courteous questions that fit in at this particular point, which are all given in the rundowns. See, you can admit these. Nonsense, man. That is the biggest test there is to make sure you haven't gotten into wrong pew. You get an item like titillation. All right, good. Now, you say to the PC, just rat-a-tat-tat-tat, how would that oppose so on? Well, it opposes all right. And you say, all right, now, how does the titillation relate to the goal to be rich? Well, let's see, if you... Well, it does. Brother, watch it. You haven't got anything out of that GPM. You may be 15 banks to the left. See? Maybe completely wrong. It's got to fit right now. Bang! See? Now, listen. If this 4MTA doesn't run by the book, it's old 3M, it's all done with the same steps. But if it doesn't run by the book, you've done something goofy. Something is wrong. See, the technique isn't wrong. The PC isn't different. Nothing else screwy has happened. This GPM is not constructed in some different fashion, you understand? You've done something screwy. And the only screwy things you can do, you can actually plot out of a picture of a PC and a GPM, see? You thought you were in this GPM, and you're actually in that GPM. You thought you were listing an op term, and actually you got a terminal. And you thought this was the next item. Actually, you skipped an item, don't you see? And you've done something goofy here. You could plot them all up. They're just elementary things. You just landed in the wrong viewpoint of dimension. Naturally, in the midst of harems and sultans and that sort of thing, this item titillation, obviously, it comes up, it occurs to him. He actually pulled it out of some other bank. It's been lying in there for some time, see? It's not a neat plot. It's in from somewhere else. And if it doesn't go right, and it doesn't go by the book, you've done something wrong. And if any RI you find doesn't blow the bank up, as far as you're concerned at that moment, you haven't got an RI. You go to lock, and you start opposing locks with locks, and I wish you lock, because you'll need it. Anyhow. Now, actually, you'll probably have far fewer RIs in a GPM than has been thought. There's a possibility that this is the case. You start finding nothing but RIs, see, with an exclamation point. You know, every time you get one, it blew down and then was followed with a steep falling item and a blowing down item and a steep falling item and a blowing down item. You got it, see? You go back and you call one of these off, you'll find there's just one fire on the list, see? That thing is probably firing sloppy, too. Only one of these, see? They won't be one or two of them firing. One of these fires sloppy, usually the first one that started the commotion. And that'll give you a beautiful fall or a surge or a blowdown of the TA or a rocket read or a commotion. See? After you get it all tamed down and prep check it, see, if you got it all prepped, tamed down, you put in your big mid roots on it, you got it all straight, you got it all calm, You got it all straightened out. Most of the confusion is blown off this immediate area, don't you see? Man, the PC's cognited all over the place. It's nice and calm now, so forth. Now you say it, see, a sultan. You'll get that rocket read, because that's the charge. That's as much charge as is left on it now, and that will continue to be left until you've opposed it, or it's been opposed for the next RI. That's the only charges left on it. There's no more residual charge mixed up in it. Now, the thing is, you don't want to give a PC an RI that turns on a lot of mass. You hand him this RI, and it's some opposition terminal, and some kind or other federal drug addicts, you see, opposition to be happy, goal to be happy, you see, federal drug addicts. And he sits there, you get a little blowdown, you know. You say, what's the matter? Oh, nothing's the matter, and so on. There's all these pictures and these ridges and so forth, and there's this black mass lying alongside of my head. You haven't got the item. You haven't got the item. Too much mass on it. Now, all items have a tiny little bit of mass on them. They wouldn't be items at all, but when you move him into the center of this thing, see, why, he shouldn't have the mass sticking to him. It should be going. See? And if you've got mass plastered all over his face or his head or something like that, you obviously have him about half in. You got him over here someplace. He hasn't moved into that old viewpoint of dimension and knocked out that stable datum. You see, he's only halfway in. So, of course, he's half ridge and half not ridge, and he's messed up to that degree. If you just consider this what it is, if the cohesion of a bank is a problem of the confusion in the stable datum, you don't get off a lot of the confusion, you haven't got the stable datum, you use it the same way, surface fact, it all makes beautiful sense to you. Now, of course, a whole GPM is held in position by the goal. But the RIs are major exclamation-sized locks on the goal itself. But they are RIs in their own right, and each one of them gives this phenomena. And unless you find them, you won't get a blowout when you get to the bottom of the bank and find the goal. You got a list for these, and you got to crisscross, and you got to bring them down. Every one of them is going to behave just exactly what I've been telling you about an RI. One of the mistakes that you can make, now listen to me loud and clear, please. I don't care whether you test the goal going down the bank or not. If the RR is less than you haven't got the PC's goal, TA is going to hell, I mean, you've got something wrong with the goal. You know, this is some elementary type business that an auditor is accustomed to running into. But you're going on down the bank and you call a goal off, it ceases to read very rapidly when you're really finding RRIs. When you're really finding real RIs, this goal ceases to read at an awful rate of speed. When you get down to the bottom, that goal exists as an RI, totally independent of its influence on the remainder of the bank. And this is one of the goofiest and one of the strangest phenomena that you ever wanted to see. It won't fire as a goal, but it'll fire as an RI. That is utterly nutty. Just exactly how that degree of differentiation can take place, I am completely flabbergasted. But it does. I just got through watching one. Call a goal, you know. Call it and call it and call it and talk it and prep check it and worry about it and make sure that we're on the right goal and everything, you know, and there's nothing firing because it's all blown apart, see? And it's calling the goal and calling the goal and calling the goal. Not even a flick. Just a perfectly smooth needle. Next item PC put on the list was the goal as an RI. Pow! See? Spooky, you know. Thing just fire its head off. It's an RI now. It ain't a goal anymore. It's an RI. Now you turn around and take that firing goal And you use that fire as a goal opposed to the next list. Don't come telling me how your PC is feeling kind of creaky on 4MPA. Don't tell me, because you haven't heard what I'm about to say, so hear it. It not only fits down against the next bank, that goal is an RI, see? That not only fits down against the next bank, you see, but it also has an item over here that it opposes. And the way to go about it is to find the item or find the goal, but always find both. That's the most marvelous way of missing an item and lousing up a bank anybody ever did, is not realizing that the goal, to catch catfish, let us say, is a goal for the whole GPM, influencing every RI, and then in its own smug little armchair self is sitting there as also an RI, and has an item which is holding in place as an RI. See, I don't care if you come down the bank on your usual zigzag of listing, and you finally wind up with this goal, where you say, well, all right, that's the whole GPM. No, no, that's the goal is the RI. You got down to the bottom, and it's still firing. Now, if you do a goal opposed list with it, you're in trouble. That if you do a goal opposed list and go off and leave its opposition, RI unfound, you'll be in trouble because you've missed an item. Now, very often, between two GPMs, there'd be a floater pair. They're quite cute. We've got the whole GPM below. Its top op term, however, is below. This is quite interesting. Unlike heliotropous implants and that sort of thing, we know a lot of things that the boys who originated those other, I mean the party of the boys, the punks, excuse me, I didn't mean to be on that one. Originated those things, didn't know about. And that is, not always, but sometimes between two GPMs, there'll be a pair of items which aren't related really to either one, which give you the reason the PC postulated the goal. Because he had a reason to postulate it. Now you've run one whole GPM. One whole GPM, you see, comes up here to the two top op terms. It's terminal and its op term. See, that's a whole bank. Then there's a pair of items. And then there's the goal is the RI. And the item, you see, above that, which opposes this. And we're into the other bank, see? So the goal is the RI, quite commonly, will come down and hit one of those interim items. See, one of those in-between pair. And the goal is an RI being on the bottom of the bank. When you get who or what it would oppose, it hits this interim pair. It doesn't hit the top op term of the bank below. It hits this interim pair. See, it hits the opposition of it. And then you list against that one that you've just found, and you find the other terminal, which is across from that. And then when you list this other terminal, you get the top op term of the next GPM. See, if you don't know that, it's not always there. That's what's bedeviling about it, see? Some of you were neat, and some of you just sloppy, see? It really just depends on whether or not the top pair of a GPM were adequate enough excuse to postulate the next goal. And if they weren't, why, you'll get then a couple of items of a goalless PC, see? And it'll be, you'll get a random pair of items. It'll be, the op term is boredom, and the terminal is to postulate a goal, or to have a game, or that won't be to have a game. It'll be having a game, or something like that, or having no game. And man, there isn't even a GPM within miles of the place that has anything to do with a game, and it has nothing to do with boredom or anything else. There they sit. They really belong there. So your goal is an RI. If avoided and simply used as an opposition, its RR will disappear. Because, of course, it's being listed against what goal would it oppose to get the lower goal, don't you see? And that'll disappear. And you'll sit there and you'll have a sleeper. There's no trace or lead in now to that pair of interim items that sit between those two banks. And actually, Golas and R.I. is just as alive as punch, man. It's just sitting there with total dynamite. You prep check it for a little while. If you prep check it as an item, not as the bank, you see. Why, it'd start firing again, probably, even if you'd listed it for 200 items. You know, listed it down into the next bank for a goal. What goal would it oppose? What goal would to catch catfish oppose? See? It'd still be sitting there. So you can set up a situation where your PC feels terrible, where you've got the goal as an RI alive, but the fire, you see, has been vanished by doing your next goal oppose list, but it's still alive. It's still there. And you've got the two interim items, which gave the reason why he postulated the goal. They'll be floating there, completely unobserved. And you've got three hot items between the present time and the bank you're working. You'll have three items above you all the time, all the time, all the time. And boy, will you get in trouble. PCs, ARC, breaky, and and you obviously have the top op term because, of God, you couldn't get any higher on this next GPM you're doing, you see, than practically the goal itself is an opposition, you know. You couldn't get any higher. And you'd leave three RIs. So that's a common mistake that you can make. Now, let's just sail into this as a fast resume of how you go about it. Let's assume that you got a raw meat PC. Raw, completely raw. How you going to find his PT goal? That's easy. Find his service facsimile with R3SC. After you found four, five, or six quote-unquote service facsimiles, you'll finally wind up with one that is hot enough to find a goal with. It is list goals against it. You can say, you know, what goal would it be part of? What goal of yours would this be part of? Any, I don't, that doesn't give you an exact wording, but I'm telling you what you're trying to find out. So use this service facsimile to find out what the guy's goal is. Now, the funny part of it is you can find four, five, six of these service facsimiles before you actually reach one, which if you listed goals against, it will give you that present time goal. It's quite interesting. Terrifically overburdened, you see, bank and terrific overstimulation from PT and all that sort of thing. You can count on mistakes, so you found all sorts of divergent things, you see. You found marriage, and you found sex, and you found wisdom, and you found investigating things, and you found eating, and you want to look for the, not necessarily the one that gave you the most TA, unfortunately. You want to look for something that looks like it might lead into a goal. It'll be something the PC has lots of problems about. The best indicator is if you find a service facsimile for which the PC gives you in answer an automaticity of problems, you're heading right in there, man. You're riding right in. So you take it or its first cousin, something right there, and you'll be able to find the PC's goal with it. You know what what I mean when I say an automaticity of problems? You're fooling around with this PC, just using R3SC, you see, and you're fooling about trying to find TA action and browsing around, and you're combing out present time some kind or another, and PC all of a sudden hits the village square. Now the PC doesn't tell you about the village square, but tells you an automaticity of problems about the village square. It just goes brr, 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 brr. Yeah, I tell you, they can't get out. There's too many people in there. You can't get your car in there and so forth. And all the people around there, I'll tell you, can't get near the stores. And it's having an awful lot of difficulty in this particular area because you see, you can't get near the stores and the police are always on the corner and so forth. And you try to get through there, it's got no traffic light. Nobody will do anything about it and there's so forth. And the pavement's all rough. You walk over a spike hill, you sprain your ankle every damn time, you know. I mean, and so forth. And I'm not now just clouding. See, I give you this dope. I mean, the PC go problem. You're sitting right on top of his PT go, man. You're sitting right on top of an RI. You must have come in close to this RI. You see, or he wouldn't have been making that much space. When he makes this space, he gets his head knocked off with the problems. You haven't got the RI, but you got its cousin, man. Now you start running any kind of R3SC process, you see, on what you've just found, the village square is what this thing. You opened your mouth and said the village square, and you got pop-a-da-pop-a-da-pop-a-da-pop mortar fire. On the line. Well, that's all there is to that. That's easy. You know that the gold is somehow or another associated with the village square. It'll be totally unlikely, but if you ask for goals listed against the village square, see, so what kind of, you know, what kind of, what goal would have something to do with you in the village square? I don't care how corny your listing is, you probably find out they'll tell you eventually, you see. To never go to church. And you get a nice tick on it, and that thing can't be driven out, don't you see? You got a nice ticking gall. You examine it. Is this your actual GPM? Is this properly worded? Is it differently worded? Is this present time? So forth, or is there this an earlier one? Go through a bit of an analysis of this particular character, and it'll show up. And the PC had never seen the fact that the village square has the church at the end of it. And the top RI, you see, isn't the village square at all. It'll have something to do with entirely different, but you just moved in on a lock that close in. You see. It'll probably have something to do with tombstones. Which you can also see, you see, or hymns or something. Just village square hymns, you see, they don't compare. So don't try to get too logical about this thing, but you give it to the PC, you've triggered in close enough that he'll fire off his goal at you. All right, that's a raw meat PC. Scientology, somebody's had a lot of auditing over a long period of time. I've already given you the formula for this in the last lecture. There's hardly anything to improve on. What goal you found is terribly interesting. This is either your actual GPM, all right, what kind of GPMs look like, all right, list, what goal would oppose it, what goal would oppose that, what goal would oppose that, it seems to be in present time, is this your present time goal? All right, that's very fine. Good, let's give it the most likely top-up term for this particular thing. And that fires when we list it, and starts blowing down, and you're on your way. You run into trouble, doesn't go by textbook, you've done something wrong, see? You've taken the next to the last one, I mean, or wrongly worded goal, or you've done something else. See? All right, so you got the PC's last GPM, that's what you want, you got that, and so on. Got the top-op term for it, well, that should have kicked a hole in the meter, see? Big TA action when you found that, because hell, it's the biggest piece of service fact you could possibly lay your hands on. It'd be the PTRI, and that's what's got all of his present time re-stimulation in high gear. You pose that, bang, you've got his first terminal. There should be pain on that big bunch of tone arm action. All right, just carry it down. Now you pose that with a list, you get your next opposition terminal. You oppose that with a list, you get your next terminal. You oppose that, and you get your next opposition terminal. You oppose that, and you get your next terminal. Every one of those things ought to blow, 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 blow. Charge, 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 charge. Action, 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 action. Tone arm motion, tone arm motion. You running this process on somebody with the tone arm at 5. Brother, you have done something incredible. Not just wrong, incredible, see? Hey, just carry it down. You find the op term, top op term, whatever it is. Of course, you don't know how complete this GPM is. First one. All the rest below that are complete. But everything else is complete but the first one, and it may be complete. You're kind of on the spot with that one, though. You're not too sure where it ends. And it follows, of course, the form and pattern of the earlier sample GPMs, like the one to scream, that sort of thing. That's what they look like. And you just list them down. You finally get down to where you get the goal as an RI. See, well, about halfway down, the goal itself stops firing. Then it fires again gorgeously as an RI. Now, at the point of your departure, you may, in having listed the PC up the line, found the goal just under this. If there's any way to know what this goal is without listing another list, use it. Don't monkey around. You listed opposition goals up to it, you see. Well, heck, you found the guy's goal. It's the one to go to church, you see. This one is to live a saintly life, you see. It's something like that. And you found that GPM. Well, list for its top op term. It's the first action you take on that. But remember to dispose of the other GPM that you just left. Let's get its opposition, see, to that goal as an RI of the one you just left. You understand? Had he found the next GPM, you better do something about the one you just left. So let's not corn around with it. I don't care whether you find the goal first or you list the thing out against an RI first. I find you don't care which one you take. Probably it's more comfortable on the PC not to find the next goal yet, but just get that goal as an RI opposed. See, that's probably the more comfortable action to take on the PC. But sometimes to get that thing opposed, he opposes it much better and more accurately if he's got some idea what the next GPM is. That's the only reason I say there's a variation of technique at that point. But if you can, just avoid finding the next goal or something like that until you need it. Don't throw any more in re-stimulation, you see, on the PC than you have to. Take it easy. All right, now, let's take that bank. Now, you've opposed the goal as an RI, and you've got all the other items. They're all written up on a line plot, and it all seems to make sense. You go over that line plot, and you read them all off to the PC. Any one of them ticks or suppresses, you keep checking for suppress, suppress. Just keep checking for suppress. Suppress is the one you want to find, because if you find one ticking, there is something wrong. So the thing that keeps them from ticking is suppress. Sometimes fail to reveal. The three that are suppressive, in the extreme, of course, are suppress, careful of them, fail to reveal. It isn't really terribly necessary to get all those in on all those RIs. But you're looking for something wrong with one of these RIs, and naturally the thing that stands most in your road is it's suppressed. And you go all over that bank and everything you found in it. You go right on up that bank, and you get the PC to assemble that bank. You work with the PC, but you're trying to get that bank put together. And you're trying to find out if anything ticks, because if something ticks, you got something wrong. Now take off at that point and do an analysis sheet. Let's find out if you've skipped an RI, or this isn't the RI, or there's a missing RI. You just found a locker, you see. Let's find out what's wrong at this point, and let's straighten it out. Whatever it is wrong, let's straighten it out and go on back up. And the most usual action is to have left a pair at the top, or more than a pair at the top, 2, 4, 6 pairs at the top of a GPM. You might have that many pairs missing at the top. You get into mischief. So you want to check that over. Ouija board your meter. You know, the Ouija board is something that the spirits are supposed to guide. And it tells you the answers and spells out the name of the man you're going to marry and all this sort of thing. And a good old 1890s. It was developed the same time as medical psychiatry and so forth. Has about the same degree of reliability. But when I say a Ouija board your meter, you'll find some auditors doing this to the extreme, you see. Are you, is it, you see? They're asking for the answers out of the meter. And sometimes that's the most unlikely things, you know, that a meter never could tell them. You see, the data just isn't on file, you see. Like, are we going to have a happy session, you know? But you can ask a lot of questions. You can ask enough questions of a meter to find out actually whatever is wrong. If you missed items, if you've done one wrong way too, you know, item been listed wrong way too. Anyway, you just straighten up that bank, add any additional items that you find in it, assemble the whole thing, make sure that no extraneous items come from some other GPM, you see. Make that just as neat as you please. You're going to just be blowing charge, blowing charge, blowing charge, blowing charge all the time you're doing this, so it's quite worthwhile, you see. Well, you just clean that thing up and sweep the street, man. Don't leave a single shard or a bit of glass or anything else around there. Just neat that up gorgeously. Go on down. If you haven't found your next goal, find it. Repeat the same operation, of course, on your next GPM. Work from present time back. Never work from back to present time. Never go on the basis that you just find the earliest item, the earliest GPM, the PC is going to be in beautiful condition because you're working. I'm afraid that's going to be too unreal and too upsetting and too out of line. You'll be crowding the PC into present time, and none of the problems it solves have anything to do with his present time existence. So you've left the totality of his present time restimulation sitting on his head while you're trying to run the hottest stuff that he's ever come near. And so that's a serious mistake. You must work from now to then. Never from then to now, except, of course, when you're straightening up a GPM, you, of course, come back up the same GPM. Now, when you make that real neat, you find out your needle gets awful, awful, awful floppy, and the next moment that you get into the next actual GPM, your needle gets very stiff, and the tone arm goes up, and you have lots of trouble, because now you, of course, put the PC into a viewpoint of seeing it's there, but not into any viewpoint from which he has really viewed it. And he's now in trouble. He's got somatics. His neck hurts. He wishes he hadn't quite started the session, and he probably hasn't. And you've got most of your troubles all over again. Now, working it that way, you can cope with the idea that the earlier you get, the more savage these GPMs are. So your PC's in good condition all the way. He's coming up in a gradient sufficient to handle the degree of charge that there are is to be found on these things. You work it the other way, too. Of course, you're taking this little tiny PC who's going way downscale, and you're putting him back in a great big cavern. And he feels mighty timid about the whole thing. You work it the other way, too, and you're going to find that your PC stays pretty happy all the way. It doesn't take very long to run these, providing you run them against tone arm action, that you're very neat, and you clean them all up all the way, too. The speed of doing it is proportional to the accuracy it is done with. The accuracy it is done with. You have to keep working at it, pocket it, pocket it, pocket it. But if you start finding lock our eyes, and you start listing items out of wrong GPMs in this GPM, you'll find you'll spend 3 sessions wishing to God you hadn't been such a knucklehead as to make the mistake you made in the first place, because you won't make any progress. See, actually, the fastest way is the simplest way, is the easiest way, is the textbook way, and the first moment that it doesn't run like that, and so forth, start bloodhounding the whole thing. Are we going to have a happy session? Thank you very much.